I still haven't seen it yet. I'm a little bit nervous. Even though everybody I know who's seen it says it's awesome. I've not heard one bad review. Lima apparently has heard negative reviews from people about Happy Gilmore 2.
Well, someone we've had on the show, Jordan Schultz, said it was the worst movie he had ever seen.
What?
Well, that's the last time he'll be on this show.
Owen has seen it.
Me and the boys and my wife, we all gathered around the tube on Friday evening and watched it together as a family.
How did it go?
I thought it was great. It was the perfect, have some comedy. It's not anything that's a masterpiece, right?
Uh-huh.
It's not going to be an Academy Award winner this year, mm-hmm. but it was the perfect mix of have some comedy, have some star power that my boys know now that we can kind of go, they know this guy. They're pointing out this guy. I actually pointed out to them that Bad Bunny is in it, who is very popular.
He's the singer.
He is a singer. In this movie, he does not sing.
Oh, okay.
But he's in it, and he has a very prominent role. We had a good time watching it together. I didn't think the humor was too crude for fathers and sons to sit in the same room as. And it might be a little different with, like, Jonah and you, right? Certainly Mason won't even know what's going on. So,
did you have them watch the original?
Yes, we had watched it. We've watched all those together.
Huh.
Yeah.
I
was surprised about, I thought about doing the Friday morning boys gather around, let's watch this. And we didn't do it, just things. We were busy. And when they all got home Friday evening, I'm like, do you want to watch Happy Gilmore 2? They're like, oh, yeah. And they started quoting stuff from the first movie. I'm like, okay, we don't need to run it back. That's they know good. What's going on.
Axel and his buddy, I went upstairs and went to bed. Axel and his buddy watched Happy Gilmore 2 in the living room yesterday. Last night, they watched Happy Gilmore 2. So I saw Happy Gilmore 1, the first one, with my sons, and they all loved it. They all thought it was funny. I mean, you get a guy standing there in a batting cage getting hit with baseballs in the head. Like, yeah, they're gonna laugh at that.
The sophomoric nature. Like, I went back and watched, kind of had it on in the background while I was taking care of the kids yesterday and was like, oh, man, it's been so long since I've seen this. I mean, it had to be, swear to God, it had to be 25 years, right? 20 years since I'd seen it. And so I thought to myself, would this have been funny if I were my age now back then? Because I was only 16 when it came out. So all the hijinks, all the pratfalls, all that kind of stuff, that was hilarious to me. Would it have been funny? You know, so people breaking down this movie now, you know, while they're watching it in their 40s and 50s, I don't know if that's really, if you had not seen the first one.
I agree with you there. I would say the only thing that's made it different is, had we had comedy for the last 10 years come out like this, and we were getting them all the time, we're not getting those comedies
anymore. No, we don't get them at all.
And so for me, it was a nostalgia factor of, like, finally something that I can do. You know, I'm more in the twilight of my parenthood compared to you guys, especially you, Anthony, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's all, I've got a couple years and then they're all gone, right? And so to be able to sit down and do this with the family was pretty awesome. And there were a couple crude humor jokes that, you know, I had to see, did it fly over the youngest one's head? Did the oldest one's got a poker face on during the thing, like, not letting me know that, like, oh, I know what that meant, you know, but it was a good time.
I liked the first one, and I saw the first one again recently, and I still liked it.
See, I thought for sure, Kenny, the amount of times that you talk about movies like this, I would have thought you would have made it appointment watching. The minute I have a chance to watch it, I am watching.
But I like to have something to look forward to. I like to savor it and, like, get the, like, okay, everybody's seen it, now I will. Like, I did not, when the Dale Earnhardt 4-piece documentary came out on Amazon, I waited until all four were out. And then I watched them all in one sitting. So there were people going, did you see it? I go, no, I didn't see it because the first two only came out. This, I may get around to it, like, this coming Friday night. Like, is maybe when I watch Happy Gilmore 2, because that's the only time I'll probably have any time to watch Happy Gilmore 2, or no, because we got something on Saturday. So basically, this Friday night is the time I'll get to see Happy Gilmore 2. By that time, no one's going to want to talk about it, right. So I probably should have seen
It'll
it over the weekend.
It'll still be top 10 on Netflix.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I look forward to it. I heard about all the cameos that are in it. Seems that there are just an amazing amount of cameos that are in it.
Yeah, there's so many cameos in it that you don't even know you're seeing a cameo.
Well, that's what I wondered, because some of the cameos, because I'm about 40 minutes in before I had to call it a night last night, and a few of them I had to keep stopping the movie because I wanted to make sure I knew who the people were that were the cameos.
The one that he popped on the screen, I'm like, I know that guy. Why don't I know his name right now? Reggie Bush is in it.
So I haven't gotten there yet.
And for 15 minutes, I'm like, why do I know this guy? I know I've seen his face a thousand times. I just couldn't place it.
Okay, so give me one thing. I should have asked you this before because I don't want to ruin the movie for anybody.
Okay, go ahead.
I saw the trailer on Netflix.
Okay. The extended cut.
Where's Shooter?
Shooter is very... he's very predominant.
Okay, he should be, because there was barely any Shooter, and then he shows up like at the end. I'm like, is that all Shooter we're going to get?
I agree with you that I was like, wait, Shooter's... Especially because, you know, I feel like that was one of the reasons why I felt like I had to watch it. We essentially broke that news here with Christopher McDonald, right? He came on the show.
Oh, there was no essentially. We did.
And said it on the show, and it got its huge run, right? So he came on and did that, and then... You know, the way he made it seem then was like, oh, you're going to be big in this movie. And then the trailer came out and it was 5 seconds of a minute and a half trailer.
Yeah. Like 20 plus years later.
He definitely is in there way more than the trailer. He's in there a lot.
Yeah. Okay. I'm making sure of it. Because again, how long has it been since the first movie? Has it been 25 years? Is that
29 years?
Nearly 30 years, because it was mid-90s. This is going to be a terrible line. It wasn't Shooter's tour, but it certainly became Shooter's movie. As time went on, like it's Shooter McGavin. He's the character. Like Adam Sandler, I know it was set up for Adam Sandler, and Christopher McDonald's a good actor, but he's always like a secondary actor or a supporting actor, I should say. It's Adam Sandler's, it's his thing, like everybody. But I think as time's gone on in our generation, it's like, yeah, certainly I have a respect for Adam Sandler and I like Adam Sandler, but it's Shooter McGavin.
Yeah.
Just that stuff, the craziness, that's what I remember most about the movie.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of, both from the LPGA and the PGA cameos, no Tiger Woods. Is that a miss? Is that a surprise?
I saw John Daly in the trailer, so I imagine John Daly's obviously in the movie.
He's got a good role in
it. Yes, he does.
Okay, what about Phil? Is Phil in it?
I didn't see Phil.
No. I don't think so.
Okay.
But again, I've only seen the first like third. This one went
hour. Scotty Scheffler's in there.
Oh, yeah. This one went an hour and 54. The original went hour and 30.
Yeah.
Mitch, I imagine you liked it, right?
I gave it a mixed review.
A mixed review
for Mitch. Yeah, because there are times I think it's legitimately very funny, surprisingly very funny. And then there are other times, often in the same scene, there are other times where I think it's the death of comedy.
Okay. I really got to leave it there, because I think saying that's a death of comedy is a very
strong point. Some parts.
There was only one big line in the movie where I was like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Him saying it's the death. Him saying he felt it was the death of comedy.
Some parts. There are other parts that are legitimately very funny.
Well, it can't be the death of comedy if you're like, but there were a lot of great moments in this.
That's just a guy trying to.
That's a guy who doesn't want to upset me. That right there, with him saying, oh, there's good. If you thought that the movie was partly the death of comedy.
I didn't say it wasn't funny. I said some parts were funny and some parts were not.
Huh. See, now I feel like I have to drop my plans tonight and watch this movie.
Did it end on the operating table? Did he die there or did they come back to life? And was it resurrected?
Wait, who? Are you talking about Happy or what?
The
death of comedy.
Oh. That is a pretty grand statement.
That is a strong statement. That's a
definitive statement.
And then you go, but it was funny.
Yeah.
There are some parts I thought were surprisingly funny for a 30-year-old comedy sequel, and then there are parts where I'm like, okay, this just isn't clicking for me.
Hmm. Okay.
It's to be like Mitch breaking down one of Shakespeare's later plays. That was the death. That was the death of Shakespeare, right? There were amazing moments. I mean, Othello held his own, there's no doubt.
The day that Spielberg went M. Night Shyamalan.
The biggest thing that I was worried about was, were they going to make the storyline super hokey? And no, the storyline made a lot of sense to me. And they knew what they were doing. They knew that, hey, it's been almost 30 years. We're going to have to explain away what's happening.
Yeah, they did that.
Can I share something with you?
Go ahead.
Can I tell you what I would do if I were LeBron James? If they feel that this is his last year, like I read Mark Stein's report, it said that regardless, they're moving on, and they're already trying to position themselves to find another guy for Luka Doncic. I'm sure you could probably, but remember, he has a no-trade clause, right? If you want to stick it to the Lakers, do you announce that this is your last year and then it's just one great big goodbye tour? Or do you not let the Lakers profit off your name, image, likeness as a franchise that you're the one who goes on tour for the final goodbye in the NBA, as the icon of the NBA?
Well, so are you saying that you would announce it to spite them? You'd steal the spotlights from Luka and this team this year, and then what?
I'm a petty individual.
Play again the following year and do it all over again somewhere else?
If you want to, you go, fine. You think I'm no longer no good? I'll retire and I'll go, and in every single place we go to, it's going to be about me. This franchise does nothing without me, because we've brought up bringing him back, and I said this year's the year to bring him back if you're going to bring him back. It's not next year, because next year's probably the goodbye tour. I don't want a giant goodbye tour while we're trying to compete for something as a champion. I don't really want to do that. Like, goodbye tours to me, has there ever been anybody who's been on like an NBA goodbye, like a really sincere goodbye tour?
No, and
maybe
still
the
been
Last
great.
Dance, but I don't think we took it in like that.
Yeah, you didn't know. You didn't know definitively whether Jordan was really calling it a career. I remember Bob Costas, even when he's hitting the final shot against Utah, he's saying a lot of might, like, and this could be, and if it is,
yes,
like they didn't know at the time. So no, nobody's ever this good this late into their career.
But he wasn't accepting gift baskets while he was going. That's what I'm pointing at. Like, you could always, I guess you could say the John Elway part of it, but
even then, I think there had to be a wonder, like, well, is he really going to walk away from two straight Super Bowls?
I remember listening to radio and there were people wondering whether he would really
even
though
his body was cooked.
Yes. But if you were LeBron, it's like, all right, you want me to stick it to you? Because I really don't want LeBron's last year. I would like, if it's a second to last year and you can make it work, I'll try to make it work. But I don't want the last year, because I'm still trying to win a championship.
Oh, I think that
makes
sense.
This year and the year after that.